I'm going to read just the first 8 verses, and we'll probably, if time allows, we'll get into the whole chapter. Probably not going to say a whole lot about the verse 9 through 17, but we will cover that a little bit. If you're there, say amen. Amen. After these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for another day, for the songs, God. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight, God. Lord, if we don't do anything but come to God's house tonight, God, and Lord, have a little jolt to our conscience tonight, God, of how urgent the time is, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, God, as Christians, God, to do more than we've been doing, God, to go out and do our very best to witness, God. God, have your way right now in this service. Lord, watch over us right now. We thank you for all you do. Thank you for the reading of your word, God. We realize that this is the book that we're going to be blessed by the reading and by hearing your word. And Lord, whatever's done tonight, we'll know you did it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 6, we were witness to the world under a storm of judgment. The Lord Jesus possesses the title deed to the planet in chapter 5. He begins the opening, the 7 seals to that deed. He begins the process of redeeming the planet out of the hand of Satan and out of the hand of the sinners and out of the hand of sin. Jesus is taken back what's his. Amen. We watched Jesus open up the 6 of the 7 seals of the scroll before he did. In chapter 6, verse 1, there was a great thunder. The sun thunder signaled the approach of God's divine wrath. The storm was coming. Amen. And each seal was open. The judgment of the wrath began to be poured out upon the earth. And the bad thing about it is we haven't seen anything yet. Oh, after, you know, we just gone through just a little bit of the tribulation period, but the wrath has not really stopped being poured out yet. Because let me just back up right here and read one little verse. I want you to notice how this reads. Verse 3 that we read to you, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God. And therefore, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the wrath is coming that's going to really remake earth. The Bible says that mountains will be moved, and the Bible says that the heavens are going to roll back. So that these angels right now are holding this back. After the 7 seal trumpets, the 7 bowls are going to be poured out on the earth. The judgment's going to intensify. Before what happens, before all this happens, we have a pause right here in chapter 7. Now God's getting ready to do some business in chapter 7. So let's look at what the reason for this pause. God's wrath has been raining down. He pauses. One of the reasons he pauses is in answer to a prayer that was prayed by Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. It's amazing to me that even in this time, God is still showing mercy. God's mercy will never be done away with. Even in the tribulation period, God will still have mercy. God will always have mercy. In Exodus chapter 12, God had mercy when the blood was applied to the doorpost. In Genesis chapter 19, God had mercy when Lot was taken out of Sodom. And when you still look in the book of Judges, God had mercy when Rahab was saved out of Jericho. But in Genesis chapter 6, Noah was saved out of the flood. God had mercy, and God's going to have mercy at this time also. Amen. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? I'm telling you right now, you would not be here tonight without God's mercy. You would not be able to stand without God's mercy. You would not be able to be saved without God's mercy. Now the result of the pause, we're told that these four angels are standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. Let me just pause right there. This ain't talking about a flat earth. This is a figure of speech. I'm not going to get into that, but I wanted to point that out tonight. But he's holding back. The word hurt here carries the idea of an injury without mercy. It's a picture of absolute destruction. And these avenging angels are the angels that's actually holding back the wrath of God. The Bible says they're holding back the four winds. They're holding back the winds. I believe that this is the wind of God's wrath. And it says, don't hurt the earth. Don't hurt the trees. It's talking about don't do anything until the earth, until we seal God's people. They're holding it back. Now, some people say there's not going to be a whole lot, there won't be no wind. I don't necessarily think this is actually talking about the wind blowing. As you and I would think about that, I think it's more or less talking about the wrath of God. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says this, For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. This is talking about God's wrath. What's the significance of this number four? The book of Revelation uses it a lot. There are seven. We know that God has numerology and God has numbers attached. There are 7 days in a week. There are seven colors of the spectrum. Revelation identifies seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, seven horns. Four, on the other hand, is the number of the earth. Okay? Four, there's a four seasons, four elements, earth, wind, fire, water, four directions. Understand? So this number is just letting us know that what's getting ready to happen is going to happen to the earth. This is where this is going to happen. This is what's going to take place right here. They're holding back the destruction of the planet. Now, when the destruction of the planet happens, guess what happens to the people on the planet? Ain't hard to figure that out, amen? There's a pause. Now let's look at the personality. Look at verse 2 and 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, and having the seal of the living God, he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the service of our God in their forehead. This, the identity of this angel, as John watches, this fifth angel appears from the east. He rises from the east, almost like the morning sun. Some have mistakenly said that this was Christ himself, but that's not the case here. The Bible says there was another angel. Jesus Christ ain't no angel. He's God. And I'm telling you right now, when he gets up, everybody's going to know he gets up. There ain't going to be no mistaking for Jesus. So this is not Jesus. This is another angel. The Bible does not name him. So understand that. But we know he's got power. He's got power to stop the judgment that's now. It might be one of the archangels. We don't know. Let me go ahead. I always go back to what Preacher Jack Lasseter said. Even them Barney Fife type angels have got a lot more power than you and I got. Amen. So it don't matter who this angel was. What matters is what he's doing at the time. He is stopping the judgment that is getting ready to come upon the earth. The intention of this angel, this angel intends to seal the servants of God. Now, y'all know that Satan is an imitator. Amen. He's going to do his very best to imitate everything God does. We'll see him do this in Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast. We understand that word, Satan is going to come out with this seal just like God's children are sealed. But this seal refers to an official stamp. Can you imagine? I'm going to take a little sidetrack here. Brother Robert Lloyd sings that song, "I've Been Sealed to the Day of Redemption." Amen. Let me tell you something. When you got saved, God put his stamp of approval on you. My Lord. Can you just imagine? He dipped it in the blood of Jesus and stamped it right on you. Amen. So we got the seal of God on us. Amen. So let me move on. Amen. There are several instances of God sealing his people. God sealed in Noah in chapter 7 of Genesis. Rahab was sealed in chapter 2, verse 18. The children of Israel were sealed by the blood of the lamb that was placed on the doorpost. Now listen to what Ezekiel chapter 9 says. Listen to this. "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And the others, he said, in mine hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare. Neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near to any man upon whom is the mark, and beginning at my sanctuary." Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. I'm telling you, when God puts the seal on you, you ain't got to worry about the wrath coming on you. Amen. That's why I believe that the church has been sealed. I believe the church is going to be called out of here. We don't have to worry about the wrath that's coming. And even in this time, in the midst of the tribulation, God's still going to seal his people. And they're not, some of these folks are going to have to go through some stuff, but most of them are going to miss the terrible wrath that's coming. God will do the same for you and I right now. God will do the same for you and I right now. Let me tell you something. It's coming. It's coming. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. Just last week, had somebody get right with God on a Wednesday night. Amen. Let me tell you something. Ain't no better night than a Wednesday night to get right with God. Ain't no better night than a Wednesday night to get that seal that I'm talking about placed on you, where you ain't got to worry about the wrath of God falling on you. You ain't got to worry about going to hell. You ain't got to worry about all that. I'm telling you right now, when you got the seal of God on you, everything's going to be all right. We got to pause. We got the personality. Let's look at the people. He calls them servants of our God. The word servant right there is the same word we use for slave. These people are saved. They're sealed. They're sold out. They're servants, amen. But who are they? Verse 4 through 8 tells us, as I read that to you, it's the 12 tribes of Israel. And I am trying not to get ahead of myself. Some Bible scholars have claimed that this is the 144,000. You know, some people with false religions claim that they're the one. The Jehovah Witnesses say they got that covered. The Seventh-day Adventists say they think they got that covered. But next time you talk to the Jehovah Witness or somebody from Seventh-day Adventists and they say they got the 144,000, that's who they're talking about, ask them which tribe they come from. Because if you're going to go by the word of God, we're going by the tribes of Israel, amen? Yeah, that's right. Now, you got to understand, some people say this is the church. This is not the church. No. The church has already been called out. This is not the church. But the Bible says they're from all 12 tribes. Now, we're going back to numbers again. 12 in the Bible is the number associated with Israel. There were 12 tribes. There were 12 loaves of bread on the table of showbread in the tabernacle. There are 12 gates to the city of Jerusalem. There are 12 stones in the breastplate of the high priest. The Lord is showing us that all these men are from the nation of Israel. No doubt, don't you be confused about this. This is from the tribe of God. Ain't finished with Israel, amen. You understand that God is not done with Israel. That is the apple of God's eye. I told you this before. The church is Jesus' bride, but I believe Israel is God's bride, and you ain't going to mess with God's bride. You ain't going to mess with Jesus' bride. I'm telling you, we're going to be sealed. Now listen, I want to read something to you. Now, unless you're a Bible scholar, and unless you've been studying the Word of God a lot, you have no idea what I read to you in these verses here. How many of y'all realize that all 12 tribes were not named? I see some people shaking their head. Some of y'all look like, what you talking about? Now listen. The tribes of Dan and Ephraim are not mentioned, while the tribe of Levi, which did not receive an inheritance among the tribes, is mentioned. You'll also notice that the tribe of Joseph is mentioned. Back in Genesis chapter 48, Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were adopted by Jacob and given an inheritance in Israel. It appears that Dan and Ephraim are not mentioned because they went into deep idolatry during the kingdom years. So therefore, they have been left out because of idolatry. So how then will these 144,000 be saved? Be honest with you, I don't know. I conjecture. I can tell you what I think. I think it's going to be from the preaching of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says there are going to be two witnesses come down. They're going to preach the kingdom, amen, and many people's going to be saved. The Bible says they'll be killed and they'll lay in the street for 3 days and they're going to miraculously get right back up, amen. I believe that could be what gets these people saved. I don't know. I was talking to me and a preacher was talking today, and let me tell you something. I'm man enough to tell you, if I don't know, I don't know. Amen. The best Bible scholar you know don't know everything about Revelation. Right. Amen? So that's the people. Now let's look at the problem. Chapter 9, or verse 9 through verse 17. Let's go back and read that. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nation and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne that shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The problem is this. A lot of scholars, and I'm of the belief that if you miss the rapture and you're a Gentile, you're in trouble. Yeah. That's my, y'all know how I believe. A lot of people believe that during the tribulation, the only ones that's going to be saved are the Jews. But according to this right here, they're going to come from all nations. They're going to come from all tongues. Now, I realize, and I've said this before, that the Jewish people have been scattered abroad. They are in all corners of the earth right now. So this could be Jews coming back from all corners of the earth. And I'm going to step up and say this. I don't know. But I do know one thing. When God takes his pause and he names them 144,000, and understand that the wrath of God's fallen, but there is worship going on in this chapter. Yeah. Notice what it said. And all the angels stood around about the throne and the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Bowed down and worshiped God. They're worshiping in the midst of great trouble. They are worshiping in the hardest time of human history. And you and I can't come to God's house and lift our hands while everything's going good Let me tell you something, folks. We ought to be able to worship whether you're on the mountaintop. You ought to be able to worship whether you're down in the valley. You ought to be able to worship if you're preaching on heaven. You ought to be able to worship if you're preaching on hell. You ought to be able to worship if you're preaching on tithing. You ought to be able to worship while they're singing. You ought to be able to worship while they're preaching. You ought to be able to worship while they're teaching Sunday school. Glory to God. And no matter what's going on in our life, we ought to be able to lift our hands and say, God, you are worthy to be praised. in the midst of the great tribulation, in the midst of trouble, they're worshiping. The only thing I know for sure, and I, like I said, there's a lot of things in the book of Revelation that I'm not sure about. The only thing I know for sure, if you're left behind when the church is raptured, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Are you ready? Are you ready? I preached a message one time. What to do if you miss the rapture. And this is kind of a funny little thought, but first thing I said, Brother Kenny, was don't panic. You was already headed to hell anyhow. It's going to be a sad day when people run into this church, and the preacher ain't here, and the deacons ain't here, and a lot of people's not here. But sad fact to be is they're going to be people here. Because everybody ain't going. Everybody that thinks they're saved ain't going. So let me ask you a question. Do you know that you know that you know that if something were to happen to you, that heaven can be your home? And do you know that if the rapture takes place tonight, the trumpet sounds, that you'll be able to go? I want you to bow your heads.